Translation. There is a saying that the secret of life is one thing. What is that one thing? The one thing is one thing. The secret of life is to be fixed on one thing. In other words, if you want to be successful in something, you have to concentrate on it. So the same thing is true in spiritual life. One should know what is the goal and fix himself on it. Practically, wherever we go, people ask us questions like, well, what do you think about so-and-so Swami? Or what do you think about this process of self-realization? So our reply is that we're not running a spiritual supermarket where you can come, you can look at different things and choose something of this and a little bit of that and take it home and make some borscht. Our teaching is exactly in line with Bhagavad Gita as spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Sarva dhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Abandoning all varieties of religion, surrender to me only, Krishna demands. You see, the same word comes in that verse and in this verse. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi ekeha. Ek means one. And what is that one? Krishna explains, mam ekam, surrender to me, one only. Not this, that, or anything else, only Krishna. So it is true that there are many different spiritual, semi-spiritual, pseudo-spiritual paths available. Especially in the modern age, there is an epidemic of bogus incarnations, bogus teachings, and bogus anything you can imagine. Therefore, some people conclude that whatever path you want to follow, it's all the same, it's all wonderful, it's all one. So that may be your opinion. And according to the principles of democracy, as stated by great Democrats like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and others, every man is equal and they're all allowed to have their own opinion. But actually this idea of having your own opinion, it's not universally applicable. For instance, you may say, I have my own opinion that 2 plus 2 equals 5. And you can say it's my democratic right, and I refuse to send my children to a school where they teach that 2 plus 2 equals 4 because my opinion is different. So that is not the proper use of one's own opinion. That is simply absurdity, or in other words, madness. Hey, Yamuna. Hi, Bob. Kindly lend your ears. So when we're talking about spiritual knowledge, we're talking about knowledge of the absolute truth. So just like 2 plus 2 equals 4 is not subject to opinion, it's a fact. So similarly, what is the absolute truth? That is not subject to opinion. If everything was simply a matter of opinion, there would be no need to send children to schools. Then just like in their geography test, they could put, what is the capital of China? They could write New York. What is the capital? If it's all opinion, then they could, in the question, what is the capital of China, they could write New York. And then when they get mark wrong, 0 marks, say, no, that's my opinion. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. It's not a matter of opinion. So just as in geography, history, science, we have to learn what are the facts, so similarly in understanding spiritual knowledge, we have to learn what are the facts. Learn means we have to go to someone who knows. Just like if you want to learn about mathematics, you don't go to the man who's riding on a horse taking the cows out. You have to go to a mathematics professor. So similarly, to understand spiritual knowledge, you have to go to a realized teacher, someone who knows. Someone who knows means someone who knows according to the standard system of knowledge. Now, unfortunately, in the modern age, there are so many people who purport to know the absolute truth, but who actually don't. Because spiritual knowledge is subtle, and because spiritual experience involves emotions or altered states of consciousness, therefore it is easy for people to bluff that they have spiritual knowledge and cheat people. Unfortunately, this cheating has become rampant. Just like there is some woman traveling all over the world teaching so-called Kundalini Yoga. This is nonsense. There's no such thing as preaching Kundalini Yoga. To practice this, one has to live the life of an extremely ascetic yogi in the Himalayas. It is not something to be preached, to the people in general living in cities all over the world. It is absolutely impossible to practice Kundalini Yoga in a city, because the first condition for practicing this type of yoga is that one should go to a secluded, holy place. But there are many people who want to be cheated, and she is catering to their foolish desires. So those who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should try to understand properly what is the actual message of the Absolute Truth. How is that to be understood? The Absolute Truth has to be understood through the prescribed process. For this, there are books, there is a tradition of teaching, there is a tradition of teachers. Just like you see this Bhagavad Gita as it is, we are teaching from this. This is knowledge handed down in disciplic succession over many thousands of years unchanged. Now there are many translations of Bhagavad Gita available in the world, but especially those translated in non-Indian languages, almost all of them misrepresent the actual message of the Bhagavad Gita. How the message of Bhagavad Gita can be understood is mentioned by Lord Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hietad uttamam. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, his pupil, that because you are my devotee as well as my friend, therefore you can understand this topmost mystery. In other words, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna because he's a devotee. At that time, there were many great sages and yogis and mystics and rishis present on the planet. So why did Krishna choose to speak this Bhagavad Gita, which is the most important of all spiritual treatises? Why did he choose to speak to Arjuna? Arjuna was neither a Brahmana, nor a Vedantist, nor a sannyasi. He was a noble person, no doubt. But he was a married person, he was a politician, a soldier, and he was preparing to fight for a political cause. So why should Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita to him? Krishna says, because you are my devotee, therefore you can understand this. And this theme is repeated throughout the Gita. Bhaktya mama vijanati, Krishna says, I can be understood through devotion. He never says, karma mama vijanati, jnana mama vijanati. He never says, I can be understood by the process of karma, or by this process of work, or by the process of speculative knowledge. He never says, yoga atma mabijanati, or dhyana mabijanati. He never says, I can be understood by the process of mystic yoga or meditation. And again, at the end of the Gita, throughout the Gita, and especially at the end, he again stresses this point. Sarvaguru hyatamam bhuya shunu me paramam vacha, ishto si me dhudamiti vakshyami hitakamyaya. At the very end of Gita, Krishna says, and now I'm going to speak to you the most confidential of all knowledge. This is my topmost instruction, Krishna. Because you are very dear to me, I'm speaking this to you for your benefit. And what is that? Nanmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. Then again, sarvadhaman parityabja mame kam sharanam raja. Surrender unto me only, giving up all other ideas. So for some people, this is a point of great discussion. They like to discuss this philosophically. Some people have suggested that when Krishna says, always think of me, he doesn't mean directly to think of Krishna himself, but to think of some unmanifested, unborn eternal within him. This kind of theory is an example of unwanted, improper speculation. Because Krishna himself is the authority. We accept Bhagavad Gita because we accept that Krishna is the authority to speak on spiritual knowledge. We accept Bhagavad Gita because it is accepted that Krishna is the proper authority to speak on spiritual knowledge. So if Krishna says, always think of me, then we should just accept he means always think of me. Krishna doesn't suggest that we interpret and change the meaning of his word. Nor did Arjuna do such a thing. He simply accepted what Krishna said directly. And when we simply accept what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita as it is, directly, then it is very powerful. Just by accepting that Krishna is the supreme authority, and that if I accept what he says, that will be 100% accurate, then just by accepting Bhagavad Gita like that, then we can become free from all illusion. We can understand spiritual knowledge 100%. That's why Arjuna, he didn't take Krishna's words, reinterpret them, misinterpret them, go and write a PhD thesis on them. He didn't do any of this. He simply said, Sarvam etad britam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. He said, whatever you say, Krishna, I accept that in total, fully. Nashto moha smriti alabdha tvat prasadat maya chuta stito mi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. He says that, Krishna, by your mercy, by hearing your words, by accepting your words, my illusion is now dispelled. I have regained my proper understanding by your mercy. Now my mind is fixed, my doubts are gone, and I'm ready to do what you say. So this is the effect of hearing Bhagavad Gita, of actually hearing Bhagavad Gita, and our mind becomes fixed, free from all doubts. It's not that we may not all become immediately tremendously spiritually advanced. It may take some time. It may take time to get free from material attachments which have been in the heart for many, many lifetimes. But one who simply accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the goal of life is to surrender to Him, then even though he may have many material attachments, he automatically becomes spiritually advanced. He automatically goes past the karmis, the gyanis, the yogis. Do you understand what that means? Karmi, gyani, yogi. Even among the karmis, the gyanis and the yogis are considered the most advanced. That Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, tapasvidho dikho yogi tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. He tells Arjuna that even greater than those who perform great austerities are the yogis. Therefore he tells Arjuna, you should be a yogi, Arjuna. Arjuna must have been shocked, because all the time Krishna is telling him, you should fight on my order. Then all of a sudden, Krishna tells Arjuna, you should be a yogi. But then Krishna explains further. Yogi nama api sarve isham madgate in antaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. He says, of all the different kinds of yogis, he who is always worshipping me in full faith, he is the topmost of all yogis. The position of non-devotional yogis is described in Brahma Samhita. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayor athapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yatpadit prapadisinya vinchintya tatvi govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Yogis, they perform very rigid yogic practices over many thousands of years. They are drilling the respiration, pranayama. There are so many different ways to control the breath. The three positions, holding the breath out, holding the breath in. Breathing out and breathing in. Then breathing through one nostril, breathing through another nostril, breathing through both nostrils. There are different varieties of breathing. So the yogis, after becoming successful in breath control, they go through different stages and finally they become fixed in meditation. But even after that, even after many thousands of years of such practices, they can hardly reach to the tip of the lotus, tip of the toe of the lotus feet of Govinda. Krishna cannot be understood by other means. Krishna can be understood only by devotion. So even by the most advanced yogis, they cannot understand Krishna, because Krishna is avichintya tattva. Avichintya tattva means he is a highly inconceivable subject. By material means, we cannot understand Krishna, because Krishna is fully spiritual. By applying our material mind or material intelligence, we cannot understand Krishna. Avichintya tattva means, chintya tattva means some kind of phenomena that can be understood by the mind. Vichintya tattva means something that can be understood by very highly developed intelligence. And avichintya tattva means that even by highly developed intelligence cannot be understood. Krishna is to be understood by a different means. Just like you can imagine, someone is very busy but he's completely doing things in the wrong way. Just like they heard that some child is caught in one high tree. One child has become stuck in a tree. So you bring all the big men of the village and they make all kinds of arrangements how to get up the tree. First they try to throw a rope, then they bring a ladder. Ladder means step. Then they try to climb up the tree. Then they bring the fire engine with the big long ladder. So they finally manage to get to the top of the tree after so many endeavors. Then they find it's the wrong tree. The child's not in that tree at all. So like that, you may try in so many ways with great endeavor. But if you're on the wrong path, then you're, despite all your endeavors, you're not going to reach to the proper goal. The men of the village may go home and said, well, we didn't find the child, but we really did a good job of getting up the tree. So that's all they're left with. You can congratulate yourself on your foolishness. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharmasvanushtita pumsam vishvaksena katasuyaha upadiyad yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. If, despite all your endeavors, you don't come to the point of relishing Krishna consciousness, then all you're left with is that you did some work, that's all. You worked hard, you tried hard. If you don't come to the point of Krishna consciousness, that's all you can say. He tried hard. But result, nothing. So here, this is near the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna has stated some basic spiritual facts already. That we are not this body. We are eternal spirit souls. We are traveling from body to body to body. He gives the example that just like a person, when his clothes get old, he changes them and puts on new clothes. So in the same way, when the material body becomes old and worn out, the soul enters into a new body. So Krishna has established this basic point of spiritual knowledge in this beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Now he's recommending fixity of purpose. We should know what the goal is and fix on it. The goal is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in material consciousness, our intelligence is splayed out in so many ways. Material illusion offers us so many different diversions. Sports, politics, newspapers, TV, sunbathing. Yeah, that means going out in the sun with your bikini. Fishing is another popular Russian. Catching fish. There are so many, drinking alcohol, wearing fashions, then different hairstyles. One time you comb your hair this way, another time you comb it this way, another time you cut it all up. In London you'll see someone has one piece of hair coming out like this, bright red, another piece going like this, bright green. And all the rest is shaved. You may think that Hare Krishna people, their hairstyle is strange, but in London, our hairstyle looks very, very conventional and normal compared to these people. So there are so many things the material energy offers us, different things you can do. And some of the varieties available in Maya's supermarket are spiritual life dressed as material life. So it may look like something very nice. Just like to foolish people, alcohol may look very nice. You see, just like this Scotch whiskey or French brandy, they put in a very nice looking bottle with some design, and they put a very colorful label on, very distinguished looking label, and they put, this brandy has been drunk by all the kings and queens of England since 1720. They present it as something very aristocratic. But after all, despite the bottle and the label, it's just rotten grape juice which has been boiled down. And if you drink it, you talk all nonsense and you urinate all over the floor and you wake up next morning with a headache. So in the same way, Maya may offer us so many apparently aristocratic, high-class things in the name of spiritual life. And you may eagerly come, you may be an eager follower of that. But at the end, you end up with nothing. At the end means the time of death. There is no actual end for the soul. But at the time of death, we'll see. Sadhan kara, bhajan kara, marti janti hai. As in Bengali it said, all our spiritual activities will be tested at the time of death. So if we haven't developed our attraction for Krishna, then whatever else we may have done, whether it's drinking brandy or kundalini yoga or whatever, it's all in the same category, it's all a useless waste of time. Yeah, whatever, anything. Whatever it is, it's all a useless waste. Therefore, Krishna is emphasizing, Ekeha Kuru Nandana, Maam Ekam Sharanam Raja, surrender unto me only. That will help you. Nothing else will. Hare Krishna, is there any question? Well, that you can see practically. Someone whose determination is not fixed, then he'll be attracted to so many different things. Those whose intelligence is not fixed on one thing, they'll be attracted to so many different things. They'll be attracted here, there, somewhere else. This is not a philosophical point, this is just a practical point. He's there now.
Он сейчас там.
You didn't know that?
Of course.
He's there in the form of his books. Prabhupada is not different from his book. He's there in the form of his movement. Prabhupada is here now. Prabhupada is not different from his movement. So wherever this movement is going on, preaching is going on, the activities of Krishna consciousness are going on, Prabhupada is there. Tam sarva-bhuta hridaya munimānatosvi. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami offers his respectful obeisances to Shukadeva Goswami. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances to that self-realized soul who can enter into the hearts of everyone. So, by the grace of the Super Soul, those who are pure devotees of the Super Soul, they also can enter into the hearts of everyone. Prabhupada also visited Hong Kong. He was very eager to have some Chinese followers. He wanted the Chinese people to take up Krishna consciousness. He wanted the Russian people to take up Krishna consciousness. He wanted the American people, the South Americans, the Africans, the Indians, everyone. Is Krishna consciousness developing in Aborigine China now? What do you think, Gopinath? What's your opinion? So you have to make it strong. It means devotees have to be strong. Actually, wherever there's chanting, there's devotees, there's prasadam, there's book distribution, there is great hope. Every time a book is distributed, that is a great victory over Maya. Huge trees grow from small seeds. So if the devotees are vyavasayatmika buddhi, if they're fixed in their determination, then wonderful things can develop here. Hare Krishna Dasi is telling me how she is going, distributing books, and people are receiving it very nicely. And many people, even they don't have money, but they're asking her, you please come back when I get my money, then I'll buy the book from you. So the field for preaching here is good. Only the devotees have to go on patiently with determining spirit, that we want to work hard to spread this movement. Whatever is required, we will do that. Then, gradually Krishna will reveal to us more and more. People want Krishna consciousness. You have to give it to them. That I'm saying repeatedly. That the sannyasis and gurus, they may visit your center for 1 or 2 days from time to time. They may give some inspiration, guidance. But the day-to-day work of spreading Krishna consciousness to the people is in the hands of the local devotee. You have to do it. It's your duty. It's your responsibility. You should feel responsible for the spiritual life of every living entity in this town. When you go to sleep at night, you should be thinking of all the people, how they're going to become Krishna conscious. This kind of meditation, this kind of dedication is very powerful. Because Prabhupada was thinking like this, he was able to spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world, starting with himself only. He had no money, no facility, no friends, no helpers. All he had was firm determination and faith in the words of his spiritual master. He had firm faith that if people hear the name of Krishna and hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, that their hearts will change. So why don't you make a resolution to make this a very strong center of Krishna consciousness? That means that individually you have to become strong devotees of Krishna. Any other question? How does it happen when you decide to make it happen? All you have to decide is that I'm fed up with this useless, stupid, material world. Now I want to surrender to Krishna and go back to Godhead. That is discussed in this verse. Vivasayatmaka buddhi. Fixed determination. Understand this philosophy. Read these books. Actually, Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's not very great difference actually. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that the Vaishnava, all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're like rasgulas. You know what rasgula is? But he said Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya is like rasgula with added vitamins. Yeah. The Ramanuja Sampradaya teaches surrender to Lord Vishnu. They have a very strong spirit of devotion. Their philosophy is also very similar to the philosophy of Achintya-Vaidya Tattva given by Lord Chaitanya. The process given in the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya is particularly easy and practical. That is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yeah. And the ultimate goal is even more developed than that of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. The goal of the Sri Vaishnava or Ramanuja Sampradaya is worship of Lakshmi Narayan in a mood of awe and reverence. Whereas the ultimate goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya goes beyond the idea of worshipping God in awe and reverence, but goes further to the idea of approaching God in pure love. Friend to friend, lover to lover. So in our preaching in India, among these different sampradayas, we never try to stress any difference. When we meet with members of these other sampradayas, we always congratulate them and say that we are together, we are all Vaishnavas, we are all devotees. But practically speaking, due to the influence of the modern materialistic age, the real spirit of these sampradayas has become, in most cases, quite weak. That's why you'll find that many people who come from traditional Sri Vaishnav or Madhva or Vallabha Sampradaya families, they're now joining our ISKCON and becoming initiated devotees in our ISKCON. Because by their family tradition and culture, they have a feeling of devotion, but how to practically express that, they find that more in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sangha, in our ISKCON. And even in India, you'll find many people from smarter family, I don't know if you know, but the smarters, they're not Brahmanas, but they're non-Vaishnavas. And they're traditionally they don't like Vaishnavas, but even many of them are coming to our ISKCON because they find that in the modern life, whatever piety they had in previous generations is all lost. So even to remain religious and pious, they want to join our movement. In South India especially, you'll still find many cultured people from very high-class families who are following these different traditions. And they're mostly all very appreciative of this movement now. Preaching among these people is very sweet, actually. They'll want to be convinced by Shastra. We'll have to discuss with them according to the Shastra. And when they understand that we know Shastra, we understand the conclusion of Shastra, they're very happy. So many cases like that. Recently in Bombay, one lady, she's in a traditional family of Vallabh Sampradaya Acharyas. So she was telling me, please take my two sons, please take them and train them. They're just becoming completely materialistic. Take them and make them devotees. Her sons are devotees, actually. They're also attracted to do some computer programming course. Oh, awesome. Then in Vrindavan also, I met one young man whose family, they're traditionally pujaris in a famous temple in South India, the Simhachalam Lakshmi Varaha Narasimha Swami temple. So he told me that he's studying Sanskrit now, but when he's finished his course after 2 years, he wants to join ISKCON. He said, our family is worshipping the deity, but they're just doing it like a job. They don't have the proper feeling. These are just a few instances I'm telling just before I left India, just now. There's another man came to see me in Vrindavan. He had read this book of mine, A Message to the Youth of India. So he's in Nanbarka Sampradaya. But he was saying, actually, for preaching, ISKCON is the only hope. He said he'd started a Vaishnav students' hostel in his hometown, where one of the conditions for the students to live there, they have to follow the four regulated principles, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, he's running the hostel as a business, but to join that hostel, you have to follow these conditions. So his son is 9 years old, and he says his son has many signs that he's going to be a very spiritual person. So he said, you please take him and train him to be a preacher of Krishna consciousness. Well, it depends on the individual. If they're fanatical that you're going to hell, this is all Satan, you can't deal with them. There's no question of dealing with them. But if they're somewhat open-minded, then you can deal with them. You can say that Jesus was teaching according to the Bible. In the Bible, the commandments, the first commandment is you should love God with all your heart and all your soul. So we're teaching the same thing. And you can give some names of some Christians who are appreciating this movement. There must be some prominent Christians in this country who have expressed appreciation of this movement. Isn't there? In our magazines in the West, we usually show some priest who's made some nice statement about Krishna consciousness. So this is often very convincing to people. I know in Italy, one of the most prominent bishops in Italy, means one of the most famous bishops in Italy, which is the capital of the Catholic world, he's practically a devotee. He chants rounds and he has devotees come to his church and do kirtan and give lectures, and he invited them to come, and then when they came in the church doing kirtan, he offered his full obeisances to them. He's the bishop within Rome, and he's known all over the country. He's a veggie, everything. He's a household name in Italy. So Islam also, I mean, if they're a little bit open-minded, you can deal with them. If they're not, you can't. The best way, actually, to deal with people on first contact is give them one of Prabhupada's books. If someone's trying to convince you about Christianity or Islam, why waste your time? You have already committed yourself to Krishna consciousness. You have already decided that, you've already understood that Krishna consciousness is a path which incorporates all the best things of Christianity and Islam and gives more also. So if someone's trying to convince you of something you're not going to be convinced of anyway, and you're trying to convince him and he's convinced that he's not going to be convinced by you, then it's a waste of time for all of you. So it's best to deal with people who are more open-minded. There are many, many people in the world, and it's best to reach out to those people who are more receptive. Cause of weakness. Weakness means if you're not connected to the powerhouse, you won't have any energy. You may have a light bulb, but if it's not connected to the power source, then you won't get light. Oh, you mean the sampradayas in India, the reason they've become weak is because they haven't kept up the spirit of preaching. Kept up the preaching spirit. Unless the preaching spirit is strong, everything becomes weak. That's true in our Krishna consciousness movement also. Wherever the preaching mood is strong, then everything else becomes strong. Wherever the preaching mood is absent, then Krishna consciousness is also absent. It's only possible in the present time. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya is there, yes. Yeah, in Golok Vrindavan, that's also part of where Lord Chaitanya is there. I can't understand exactly what she's talking about. Maybe the person who was translating didn't translate clearly, or she didn't understand. In devotional service, there are certain prescribed duties, such as chanting a fixed number of rounds, following regulated principles. Then there are others such as rising early, observing Ekadashi, observing festivals such as Janmashtami. For those devotees who are living in an ashram, they have to work under the guidance of local authorities and perform services such as cleaning, cooking, going out for food distribution. So these are all duties in devotional service. We should not try to avoid this, we should follow this. Krishna speaks about this in Bhagavad Gita also. He speaks a lot about duty, prescribed duty. Yes. Yes, that's true. Now that's true also. It's that in the name of Krishna consciousness, just like you have a daughter and you say, no, I'm chanting my rounds, therefore I'm not going to feed my daughter. That's not Krishna consciousness. You have to chant your rounds and feed your daughter. It's not that in the name of Krishna consciousness you avoid certain duties that we may have taken upon ourselves. We are not these bodies, but as long as we have these bodies, we have certain duties to fulfill in relationship with these bodies. Sannyasis have no social duties, they only have spiritual duties. But especially those who are in the married stage of life, they have social duties also. So we have to do their social duties and spiritual duties side by side. And combine their social duties with the spiritual perspective. For instance, you have to feed your daughter, but you can feed her Krishna prasad. Then it becomes spiritualized. Then the two things get dovetailed. It depends on the individual soul, his individual karma. Arjuna is always in Krishna consciousness because he's an eternal associate of Krishna. But by the will of the Lord, he was temporarily afflicted with forgetfulness so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. That Arjuna is a natural devotee is evident from the fact that he understood the point of the Bhagavad Gita immediately. Whereas others, even after speculating on it for many, many years, can't understand what it's all about.
Oh yes.
But the standard of Krishna consciousness had gone down much. Therefore, Krishna, he said, now I have to re-establish that. That Krishna explains at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Imamli rasvate yogam proktavana hamavyayan vilasvananave praha manor ikshvakave bravit. Krishna said that I originally spoke this Bhagavad Gita some millions of years ago to the sun god. So the sun god spoke it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku, who is a great king. Then, evang parampara praptam imang raja shio vidu. So this knowledge was handed down from generation to generation among the great saintly kings in human society. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. But he said that in course of time, this science of yoga has been lost. So therefore, he says to Arjuna, sa eva yang maya teja yoga prokta paratana. That very same knowledge, I am now speaking to you again to re-establish that in human society.
That's not from Hari Bhaktivinoda.
Yeah. Not to travel alone, that is, that's recommended for devotees because if you're with another devotee, then you're protected from the association of so many non-devotees. So it's recommended that if possible, always travel at least with one other devotee.
Don't visit a garden at night.
I don't know, I've never heard that one. I mean, generally in the evening we're engaging in kirtan and Bhagavad Gita class in the temple or some preaching program like this. So I don't know why you visit a garden at night anyway. Of course you see in the... Yeah, that I was thinking, park, right? Yeah. Because ghosts are active at that time. But anyway, we don't, like I'm saying, we don't usually go to gardens at night anyway because we're either doing some preaching program or we're doing... See, some rules are very important and some are less important. All the rules are to help us, but we have to see which are more important and which are less important. Just like don't eat meat, that is very important. That's not to be broken under any circumstances. Don't travel alone is something which is good to follow as far as possible, but it may not be always possible to follow that. So some rules are rigid principles and others act as guides. Yeah, material means relative. It's different ways of expressing the same thing. Everything material is relative because it is bounded by time. It has a beginning, a middle and an end. Therefore, if we say that the Himalayas are the highest mountain range in the world, that's true, but it's only as true as long as the Himalayas exist. Only as long as they exist. They won't exist forever. Another way of understanding that they're relative is that their existence is dependent upon the absolute substantive principle. Their existence is dependent upon the... Everything in the material world is relative because its existence is dependent upon the absolute truth which underlies everything. That absolute truth is Krishna. Now, even though Krishna comes into this material world, he is not under the laws of the material world. Krishna is independent. He is beyond the laws of physics. The laws of physics are dependent upon Krishna's sweet will. So if Krishna wants to lift a hill for 7 days and hold it, he can. If Krishna wants to lift a hill for 7 days, he can. Now, according to the laws of biology and physics, a young boy of 5 years old should not have sufficiently developed muscle power to either pick up a hill or hold it. But Krishna's not under these laws. All right, let's. I can see everyone's struggling to sit comfortably. We'll have some kirtan now. Then, if any other questions, then people can. We have kirtan, prasadam. Is prasad? He didn't prepare. Didn't plan to distribute prasad, so our program's incomplete.
You better see to this whenever we have problems. They should learn. It's a very important point. Whenever we have problems, people have to have prasad. It's one of the pillars of our Krishna consciousness. Is it possible to get some fruit close by? At least we can give people something and fruit in them. Why don't we get some, at least give people some something? We have to give them something. Maybe, is it possible you can cook a pot of halava quickly?
Yeah, you should cook halava.
How does he cook a pot of halava quickly? While we're having kirtan?
Yeah.
Can he, he'll do that now? Yeah, someone, Yamuna or someone. Cook a big pot of halava. You can cook a big pot of halava and give some fruit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do it quick. Whatever you're going to do, do it quick.